All right, we're back, and let's welcome our next panel of experts to talk about the last episode. We have Program Manager Brady Gaster and Super Senior Program Manager Jeff Fritz.
I'm not that old.
There's a lot of gray there, dude. I'm just saying. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us in our Q&A.
Come on, man.
So I've known these people for a while, so it's okay. You are a super senior, though.
Don't let my daughter hear that.
Nice, awesome. So what was it like working on the app? Some of you have you've just seen this for the first time.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Yeah. It was great. I really enjoyed it. It was a great experience for me. I've been involved in a couple hackathons in the past, and to work with some of my teammates, some of the people that I know are the best out there in some of these fields, it was really interesting.
Brady, right?
Especially Brady.
Brady, what about you, bud? What'd you think?
I actually had a great time. A lot of the stuff that I do for my 9-to-5 work is around Azure. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had a chance to really dive into some of the new ASP.NET vNext stuff because I'm concentrating on Azure. You get in your silo and you stay in your silo. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of decided to go ahead and do everything with vNext, it was a lot of fun to actually like dive in and do it. It was pretty fun to like learn some of it. It was also fun to learn some of the things that our customers are going to report. That was pretty good. Jeff and I went back and forth quite a bit. This doesn't work. I didn't expect this to happen.
Well, that's cool. Well, by the way, if you're watching, you can submit questions live. Hashtag VS2015, or you can do the boxes below if you're looking on Channel 9 and send your questions in. We want to answer them. So let's start first with what your day job is, and then what you learned while doing the project. Because your day job and what you actually worked on were completely different. We'll start here with you, Jeff.
So normally during the day, I work on NuGet. So I'm the program manager for NuGet, and I also help to coordinate the web dev blog on MSDN.
Okay.
So writing and putting together and managing how we're going to deliver packages. And then for the project, I actually worked on database and Entity Framework 7.
It's like completely somewhere else.
Yeah. But in a past life, I'd done a bit of work on database and work with Entity Framework. So it was a shift, but it was like a throwback in time for me. And it was stuff I enjoyed.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Ready?
I work on the web tools extension team for VS. So what we build is actually the team that I work for. Web tools extensions is big. It's the JSON editor, the JavaScript editor, blah, blah, blah. The stuff that my team works on is actually the Azure tools. So if you right-click publish and you want to publish your app out, or if you want to generate a client for your API app, that's the stuff that my team works on. So I had not been able to do a lot of the deeper ASP.NET stuff. But since I'm coming from the ASP.NET team, that was the part that my segment of the larger team actually bit off. So we were working on the ASP.NET stuff, and then we were publishing to Azure. We worked with the CI guys, got that all wired up properly and whatnot. I worked with Jeff a little bit on the EF data models, and we had some experimentation. It was pretty fun. But what I did in the project was actually the ASP.NET stuff, and we worked, at first I did a lot of the web API stuff. So we started with the Vue models to get the Cordova team running along, and then we built out the API and just started partying on it. So that was fun.
That's awesome. So questions coming in, Lance, is EF7 ready to be used on projects, or is this still an early alpha? If it's not released,
yeah, you're playing with fire. If it's not released, it's open source, so you're welcome to go and use the open source license to work with it. But we're not going to promote and say that you should be using it. There's changes coming. We know that there's work being done on
it.
So I wouldn't recommend putting it into production just yet.
Right. And I'd probably back up what you're saying. One of the challenges that we had in the project was I'm a big fan of the DB geography type in EF pre-7. So we had, obviously, from the video you might have seen, we had some geo stuff, some lat long stuff that we were doing. Once I learned that EF7, because I hadn't been too deep into it yet, once I kind of grokked that EF7 lacked the DB geography object, Jeff and I kind of had to go back to the drawing board, and we said, okay, well, let's do this with a store procedure and EF, you know, SQL spatial. It's like, okay, how do we dial in a store procedure with EF7? Jeff and I were like, ooh. So we have to go and bug raw one, and we had to ask how to do some stuff. Once it worked, it was pretty fantastic. But again, like if you're like me and you are accustomed to some of the stuff that we've released and everything in EF up to 6, some of that stuff might not be there. It might be slightly different. You might have to look around a little bit. I would also say, again, it's still beta. So,
You know,
your mileage may vary.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
I will also say that I have done a lot of videos with Rowan. They're just in the backlog, and we're going to push a lot of them out where he actually explains EF7 and some of the cool stuff that's in there. So watch out for that on Channel 9 coming up soon. Okay, so now that we know what you do and what you worked on, what are some new things that you learned during the process of building this already app? We'll start with you.
Well, so I did a lot of work with EF7, and I was used to using PowerShell to build migrations and all the stuff that was inside of Visual Studio integrated with the older versions of ASP.NET. And what I saw was I got a full command line set of tools that I could use. I could go and type dnx.ef migrations and start building those out and saving those from the command line. So that was something that I could script and generate and even put into the CI if that was where I was more comfortable using it. And you know what? It worked out really nice. And I became more comfortable breaking outside of Visual Studio and working on the command line more and having a couple of command line, you know, windows up and running outside of Visual Studio, which was a different experience for me because I've been using Visual Studio for so long. So I was back in command line world for a while. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
For me, I think one of the more rewarding aspects is being on the Azure Tools crew. We have to work with the guys across campus who are in the other Azure Tools crew. There's a few. And one of the crews that we work with is the Cordova crew.
Right.
And I had only done File a New Project and done some experimentation and, you know, tinkered around a little bit. But I had not gotten too deep into Cordova. So there was one conversation that we had, which is going to show how green I am with Cordova. We were talking to him. We were talking to the ASP.NET team, was talking with the Cordova team, and we were debating, you know, REST API versus views, okay, like MVC views. So I said, well, let's just do views here because we only have 3 days. Let's just party on views. And the Cordova guys were like, that won't work. We said, why not? They're like, well, it's a web view and it doesn't actually load the HTML. That's why we need a REST API because the views are static. And it's like, just imagine all the HTML doesn't get loaded from the server. And then, like, if an imaginary camera swung from the Cordova guys, like back to the ASP.NET guys, we were all like this.
That's cool.
What do we do now? You know, and it was like learning that new paradigm for me was pretty interesting because it meant we had to go with, you know, web API. It meant we had to go with the REST API. So then we kind of had to think back a little. Okay, we were thinking of doing a web API. Then we went to views because the Cordova guys really needed to be an API. It was just kind of a level setting. That to me was very enlightening because if you're coming at it from, you know, I'm kind of an MVC guy. Mm-hmm. I always think view first. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that with Cordova. They looked at us like we had a horn growing out of our head.
Well, so sometimes it's like a single page application and there's no way to get new content other than doing JavaScript calls back and forth to an API.
Exactly.
But our views change then,
yes.
Right? Our views are now all client side already available to us.
Yeah. That was pretty exciting. Yeah, because once we kind of wrapped our minds around, oh, all the HTML has to be static, then we thought, okay, what other opportunities do we have with our REST API? And then we started kind of rethinking things. So that was pretty exciting. That happened around midday the first day. That was good. If that had happened midday the third day, we would have been in really bad shape.
Yeah. So, I see.
Yeah.
All right, so some questions. Is Already App Online live? It's not live, but it's on GitHub.
Yeah.
HTToolbox, I think, .org. If not, they will tell me in my ear what the right URL was. So if they're watching, you think anyone else is watching? It's just I know your mom is watching. She told me. She gave me a call.
Thank you.
She's really
I gave her your phone number.
Thank you. She's nice. Livingston, Brady, what was your experience like working with SignalR and ASP.NET 5?
ASP.NET 5. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of SignalR over the past couple months, except for the shows that I do. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we... Is SignalR supported by ASP.NET 5?
Yet.
It's not in there, right?
So, not in the box yet.
VNext and SignalR don't play well yet. So, Livingston, I'm sorry to say, the answer to your question is I haven't done it because I don't think it can be done. Mm-hmm. I actually have some conversations with Damien because I have a show coming up in about a week, an internal show with SignalR, and one of the slides that currently says, you know, TBD is what happens with ASP.NET 5. So I have to go talk to Damien.
And I think it's important. I mean, and I know it was said earlier today in the release, ASP.NET 5 is not done.
Correct.
No. Yeah.
ASP.NET 5 is still in beta. Visual Studio 2015 is almost done. So don't think that one begat the other in terms of production-ready quality.
Yeah.
We're not quite there yet with ASP.NET. We have a little bit more things we want to do, such as add SignalR to the next version.
And this is beta 5 that's in the box. There's a beta 6 that they've scheduled for
update 1 or something.
Later this month. And there's a beta 7, a beta 8. Mm-hmm. And they talk about this more and more on that community stand-up show.
Right. I think there's one tomorrow, actually.
There might be.
So, all right, here's another question. Have you considered using Azure DocumentDB in your project instead of SQL Server? What do you think, Jeff?
So
you considered it. No, we considered search.
We considered Azure Search. Yeah. We didn't look into DocumentDB too much. Once we got past the first couple things that we needed to build, when we looked at that initial data flow, what were the screens we needed to capture? It became obvious that, you know what, we could use EF7 with SQL Azure real easily and just trim out a lot of extra things that we would have to figure out to make the DocumentDB story work. Mm-hmm. So we stuck with SQL Azure. We could have used DocumentDB, but for the skills that we had on the team, SQL Azure worked really well.
And it felt like with such a constrained amount of time, it's like we need to use something that we kind of already know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we did talk about it. Jeff actually did the due diligence of learning some stuff around Spatial, and I remember when I was refreshing in the Explorer, I kept seeing like assets pop in, and we were looking at it using the new Cloud Explorer stuff, and it was kind of funny once that resource node popped in. I was like, I guess Jeff has Spatial in there. But I'm glad that you asked about DocDB, because we've actually been talking to the DocDB team. My good buddy Ryan Crocker reached out to me, and he said, I know that in VS you have the capability, if you publish a web app, the web app is glued to a SQL database. When you publish that web app, you can actually specify, do I want a new server, use an existing server, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The DocDB team has actually come to us, and they've said, we know that a lot of web guys want to publish to a DocDB. What do you guys think about putting DocDB like in that publishing wizard, so that people could actually set up a DocDB instance, kind of like they can do today with SQL. If you like that idea, or you like that idea with cache or with search or with anything like that, please let us know. I think I know the gentleman asking that question from Twitter. So if you want that, keep pinging us, because we want to come up with other Azure features that we want to add into that lifecycle, both in create new and in publish. So if you have ideas on that, I'm your guy. Please tell me what you want to do.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Next question is kind of along the same lines from Kim. Why did you use SQL database and not blob storage for such a simple data model? I would think blob is cheaper, or was there other considerations? I think, did we use blob for some of the images?
No, we use Azure Storage for the images. So actually, when you upload an image, we store it in Azure Storage.
Yep.
And the rationale behind that is Azure Storage is a great place to put blobs. Now, we're not trying to say that SQL is not a great place to put blobs. I'm also not saying that Azure Storage is a better place to put blobs than SQL.
You brought your own lawyer today. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm like the legal guy now.
Disclaimer.
I deal with them a lot. But what I would say, and I'll completely make this a personal statement. If I'm going to store blobs, I have permanently switched my methodology to use Azure Storage.
Yeah.
If I'm not on Azure Storage, then I'll use SQL. But if I'm running in Azure and storage is an option, I'll use it, because you have things like snapshotting and there's all other kinds of
geo-replication.
Geo-replication.
Right. Read-only geo-replication. So you have people on the East Coast that need to be able to access this stuff. They get a read-only copy from an East Coast data center. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yep. So that's Brady's comment, not Microsoft's comment.
Oh my goodness. Like on Twitter, people have that. These are my own comments and not my employers. Yes. So we ran into something interesting during the taping. Mm-hmm. I use the word taping like I'm from 1995, right? When we were taping.
We didn't use tape?
Yeah. What happened? Because I only heard about it a little bit, but tell us what happened. I know it was on the show a little bit, but.
Oh gosh. So we were, you know, coordinating, working together, and Brady and I were talking through some things around the database and how we wanted to structure the model. And
I'll never forget the look on your face. You just froze and you were like, I have to go.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh. My wife sent me a text message. She was on the road with my daughter and said, there's a tornado warning coming through for our town. We have 15 minutes to get cover. I was like, oh, that's not something that I'm used to hearing in where I am in the suburbs of eastern Pennsylvania. So I quick messaged this guy and said, I got to go. Yeah. There's a tornado warning. And I picked up a handheld radio, ran to the basement with my other daughter and said, hey, you know, we still have phones down here. We still have Wi-Fi. Let's keep tabs on this. And I reached out and was able to share tweets back and forth and even get on link a little bit with my phone and, you know, just keep everybody up to speed with what was going on. But it was a decent scare there. Pretty good rain, pretty good wind. A couple towns over got hit pretty good. Some people had significant damage, but
Everyone was okay.
Everybody in my neck of the woods was okay.
Okay. And what did you think about that when you heard that?
I mean, my first reaction was to say a prayer, quite frankly. I was worried about the guy, you know what I mean? So I was like, Jeff's got kind of a bad situation right now. Let's just keep tabs on him. You know, so he was tweeting and letting us know everything was okay. But the, of course, the second thought went through my head was, wow, too bad he didn't have already half an hour ago. You know what I mean? That would have been cool. I mean, we were definitely worried. And then the next day, it seemed like the weather got better. So, I mean, I've been to Philly. I cannot imagine a tornado in Philly. It scared the what out of me.
I'm 20 minutes, half hour outside of town, and that's not something you expect.
Oh, and it's kind of cool that we were actually working on something to help prevent issues when those kind of events happen.
Yeah. Exactly, right? There's a group of people a couple towns over from me that they need the kind of support that volunteers who sign up to the Already app will provide. And it's something that I feel good now about contributing to, knowing that not those people, but the next group of people will be helped.
So this is a Visual Studio release, and it feels like we really haven't talked about Visual Studio, but it was just kind of there the whole time. I mean, what do you say? I mean, Visual Studio was there the whole time. What was the Visual Studio experience like in 2015 for you?
For us, it was great. We do have one question that I'd like to answer on the board.
Oh, let's do it.
And I can answer this along with the VS 2015 thing.
Let's do it.
Jason asked a question, wait, what? Spatial is not a part of EF now? Not now, but it will be.
Yeah, so, it's not done yet.
It's not done yet. Okay, so, you know, see previous conversation. It is a feature that the team wants to add in. It's a feature that if the team doesn't add in, they know I'm going to have me breathing down their neck because I love that feature. I think when I talked to Ron the other day, he said they have some new tricks up their sleeve. I don't know what those tricks are, but Spatial will come back. So don't panic and run for the hills on that. What was it like to party with VS for those 3 days? I think that was the original question. It was fantastic. Now, you have to remember there have been, like, the RC release. Yeah. And, you know, we, I think day one, we had at least two or three people that were installing and configuring. Now for us, installing and configuring means I have to go to this share,
yeah.
and then bug people to know I'm doing it in the right order.
Right.
So there were a lot of Franken builds going on. We had a lot of VMs that we were creating and then blowing away and then recreating. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, like the first couple hours, just making sure that we had the right builds. It was a little bit painful, but the community doesn't have to worry about that because we packed it all up really nice. It was nice to see a lot of the new tools, like once we started committing things to VSO, it was nice to see people's names, like over the method names. I was like, oh, well, Zlatko just committed this. I'll tap him because I don't know what this means. So
I made a point before the event started. I went out and grabbed the latest copy that we had issued to some of our insiders so that I could see and get that same experience that they were having, right? And it felt like a glove to me, right? ASP.NET 5 and working with the tools, being able to change out the references to different entity framework versions that we were testing and working with, and seeing it automatically get that from even internal repositories and lay it down very quickly as I save changes to my project file. Great usability is what I felt. It felt like a glove. The same Visual Studio that I've used for how many years, but with all these cool new productivity enhancements that just made it easier and stuff I didn't have to think about.
And we saw some of the stuff that Mads came in and sort of helped us, at like Grunt and Gulp and Bower and NPM and all this stuff. It's weird because it's not built in, but it is, right? Can you describe that?
That was interesting. Well, the first experience that I had with that, I remember when Mads and the team had some prototypes of TRX ready. I partied on it. I'm new with those build tools, so I was partying on it, learning how to use it. What I found really enlightening was, as Jeff puts it, you know, like the whole like a glove experience, was I went out to VSO and cloned everything down to my machine, and as soon as it hit my machine, TRX went into action, and it started like building things and recreating things, and I thought that's pretty nice, like that seamless experience that all I did was a git clone, pulled everything down, and it knew what to do.
Everything just
started
lit up.
Building. I was like, wow, I was kind of intimidated by TRX because I was like, I'm going to click this, and you know, what do I do? And it just lit up, and it was hot, and it just worked.
I had been used to using Grunt and Gulp and Bower and NPM outside of Visual Studio and having all these command windows running so that I could call into those tools whenever I needed them. And it was always, you know, flipping around, well, which one am I using now? Which tool is this window configured to be using? And now to have it all just sitting there in Visual Studio running whenever I compile made my life a world easier.
I think my favorite new feature is the whole, like, I've always done control period to like resolve my namespaces, but to be able to do control period on extension methods.
Yeah.
That's
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Also, in Windows 10 with multiple screens, it's so nice to be a developer right now. Yeah. Windows 10 plug, people. Three questions just to finish up for a new project. Can we go ahead and use ASP.NET 5, or is it still undergoing too many breaking changes?
There are still some breaking changes. It's not clear exactly how much is going to change. They are doing some work on that. All I can say is watch the ASP.NET community stand-up, read the web dev blog, and we will announce those changes as they happen.
Yeah.
All right.
And there'll be more changes in the framework than there will be in the tooling. The tooling always goes slower. Mm-hmm. But we're actually going to a much more rapid cadence of releasing fixes for the ASP.NET VNet stuff. I think we're going to go monthly or something like that. Like it's unheard of.
All right. We have 30 seconds. So VS2015, where are you guys originally from? Trying to guess accents. Real quick.
North Carolina.
Philadelphia.
It's complicated. So wait, you guys write real apps now? How did that feel? Oh, we've been writing demoware for so long. Oh. Someone called us out.
Exactly. That's one of our good friends, too.
Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot, buddy.
For throwing us under the bus.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for our next episode. Just a reminder that we'll have another expert panel taking your questions right when we come back on hashtag VS2015 or the Channel 9 sort of box below if you're watching. All right, let's roll the next one, building the cross-platform mobile app.